Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well. I'm doing so good that you can make a montage out of me skipping around in the snow and petting animals and sledding and walking herbs, just filled with joy.
Oh, wow. You've been reinvigorated after that 3-hour episode last night.
Yeah. It was, yeah, me and Raven have something in common. Nick really did something for us.
Yeah, what did you think of that montage?
It was fucked.
A little bit over the top, but, you know, I guess it's
better. I wonder how they presented that to Raven, though.
Yeah, I think they probably, like, hey, are you really excited about your relationship with Nick? Like, let's show how, like, he's skipping around. You know, probably, like,
yeah, or totally, like, different. I wonder if they're just straight up with her and be like, you know, it'd be funny if you pretended you had the best O of your entire life. You just skipped around Finland.
Right.
Because I feel like she'd be like, that's funny, I'm in.
Yeah, I could see that. She kind of had that look on her face like she was in on the joke. So, could be. I don't think they'd have to really be underhanded about it with Raven.
No, I don't think so.
But, I mean, do you think it's true that Nick delivered the goods?
No. I think Raven just hasn't had enough dicking in her life that she just...
She's like, that was it.
And you know what? I think she might have had the benefit of having... Okay, listeners, if you see something how the Fantasy Suite dates were out of order that we were shown, let us know. But Raven potentially had the benefit of going first when Nick's D was at full capacity. You know, because by Vanessa, it's like... Murr, murr.
Plus, he's been in, like, freezing cold water. That's not good. They just were playing darts, so it's not a lot of exertion there.
Oh my god, you could be right. No horses, no cross country skiing.
Right. Exactly. So yes, this is how we started the episode. We were all dying to know what happened on the Fantasy Suite date with Raven, and
are
that's
we?
How they. Yeah. Apparently, it was cliffhanger worthy.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So, but quickly. Move on from that, and we're
Thank
on
God.
The Rachel date, exactly.
Hey, Rachel.
Yes. So, a lot of suspense here, because we don't know
what's
going to happen with Rachel, right?
We don't. We have no idea.
Yeah.
Is she going to stay? Is she going to go? Is she going to tell Nick? Oh, my God. Okay. Can we just talk about quite possibly the most outrageous line of this entire franchise?
What was that?
I may be a white dude, but I'm still a minority.
What the heck? Like, explain what? It to me.
I literally don't even remember what they were talking about because I was so just blown away by the fact that he, like, I get it was a joke, but like you're telling a black woman that you're a fucking minority. Like, are you
what is he, a minority from being from Milwaukee, from
no,
being a Bachelor contestant?
No, he was a minority because, oh, fuck. It's something lame, like that he's open to discussing his like feelings or something like that.
Yeah. Bad joke.
Yeah. That was,
Yeah. And what did they do on the state? They went cross country skiing. And she kept falling down.
Have you ever been cross country skiing?
I have.
You? Oh, okay.
Maybe about like 6 times.
What the frick?
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. It just seems like a posh sport.
Oh, really?
I'm not a skier. I'm not an outdoors person. I don't do winter. I don't do sports. I went skiing one time in my life and it was a horrific experience for me. I made it halfway down the hill before I got my ski instructor to take off my skis so I could go throw up from the pain that my boots were causing me.
Yeah,
I was 20.
I was like
20 when this happened. So I was just like keeled over in the gorgeous mountains of Idaho while my ski instructor was like, are you freaking kidding me with this one?
Are you sure you weren't just trying to like hit on a hot ski instructor by like, look, I fell down.
He looked like Jesse Tyler Ferguson, which is fine.
But just wasn't your type.
Yeah. Also, he was probably 30, which wasn't my type at that point either.
So So Nick's definitely not your type at 36.
You know what? I might make an exception for Nick.
For Nick.
Not.
No. Yeah, and downhill, that's a lot of, like, investment. Cross country, it's still a lot of equipment, and you kind of have to, you know, have the mm-hmm. right conditions, but it's not as scary. Like, the hills are just little.
I feel like I would sweat more, though.
Yeah, it's more of a workout, I suppose. Ugh. But,
I definitely don't want that.
Yeah, but it is.
I get too hot too. That's like one of my big problems with winter is that I can't find a good temperature to be at because I get too hot in the jacket. But if I take it off, then I get too cold and then I get cranky.
Yeah, it's a lot of layering strategy to figure out. And I hate when I like have a hat on and then you go in, take off the hat and you're like, hair is plastered to like forehead sweat.
That's why I just don't. I plan my hair that day around having a hat on.
Mm-hmm. I just wear my hat.
Yeah.
It's just like, again.
I go for winter chic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Was that what Nick was going for in this episode?
I don't think we can consider any of his outfits he wears in Finland chic.
No. A lot of sweaters, beanies.
A lot of bold necklines.
Right. A lot of soft tones, romantic colors. Just, yeah, not a good look. So aside from the cross-country skiing, Nick's minority comment, what were your feelings on this date?
I think it was fine. I love their chemistry together. They're an interesting couple to me. I think Nick, like I've said a million times before, I think Nick has just this ability to make any relationship he's a part of interesting and dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think that proved to be the case across all three of these overnight dates.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in all the conversations they were having, and they were, you know, similar and different. And I just like Rachel. She, you know, she's smart, but she is also kind of like, you know, every girlish too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, if we didn't know the news of that she was the next Bachelorette, we'd probably be
We would have been shocked that she left.
We would have thought she was in final two for sure. And in this case, it's like, she better be leaving tonight. Otherwise, this whole season is a joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of a weird feeling to have, to be like rooting for or expecting her to leave, because we didn't really see anything that would suggest that.
Absolutely not. Like, she finally said, like, oh, like, I'm falling in love with you. And Nick was like, same girl or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Anything else from this date?
I think
they had kind of a pleasant exit. You know, he pulled her aside and, you know, said how much he cared about her.
Oh, but he also said, sorry, I've got to go get ready. I've got, like, stuff to do or something. It's like,
at the end of their fantasy suite date. Like, she was all in her comfy penguin onesie, and he's like, yeah, I got to go get ready for gear up for my next date. Yeah, that wasn't a good sign, I suppose. But the next date was Vanessa.
And they had a lot. Was it a fiery conversation, would you say? Was it intense? Yeah, it's probably like an intense conversation.
Yeah. She was kind of calling him on some things, or they just seemed to.
And he was kind of calling her on some things, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting to me. And they did it in a way where it wasn't like argumentative. It was just like, I just want to know what's the scoop here, you know? And I think that's interesting. I like seeing that kind of dynamic with Nick.
Yeah, it was about kind of follow up from their family visit, uh-huh. the questions that were raised.
What are your core values? What can't you compromise? What will you compromise on? And Nick said he likes having somebody who has strong opinions and who they can work together to kind of figure out the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a lot of like, it seemed like, ooh, maybe this isn't going too well, but that was more just Vanessa's doubts, because she's like, well,
I think
my family's
misdirect.
Really...
Like, they're just messing with us, because otherwise it would be such a clear home run for Vanessa that she's winning.
Right. Yeah, because it's like, oh, my family's really traditional. "Ooh, I'm not traditional." But then he's like, "Oh, I love that your family's traditional." So it's like, just yeah, wait, it was kind of weird. 2 minutes and it solved itself, you know? So
yeah,
we just don't know where they're going to be living. I don't think they settled on that yet.
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
Right.
Because truly she has more roots in Montreal than he does where he is right now.
Exactly. Although some news came out that, you know, she has an IMDb page and was an aspiring actress before. And so maybe she'd be up for trying that out again.
LA.
Going to LA with Nick. Who knows? Let's see. And then this date was the sauna. The sauna is how I pronounce it.
Sauna?
Yeah. I think that's really that's the Finnish pronunciation.
And sauna.
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 Yeah. Listeners, if any of you say sauna. I can't imagine
anything worse than this.
Really? What about jumping off a building?
Okay, that's pretty terrible. But bathing in literal freezing water and then going to pop in a really hot sauna, like I think I would get a cold or like some sort of illness because the change in temperature would just fuck with me.
Yeah, that doesn't seem smart or
fun.
Health. It's not very fun. I had to do it once in middle school.
Did you? You did
just
like a
one dip. Yeah.
Well, remember like Tierra nearly died in Banff when they did that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, now I remember.
Also, what padding is in Vanessa's bathing suit that there was no nip show?
Yeah, a nice little shelf bra or something in there.
Yeah.
Why did they have these special like Finland
issued
bathing suits?
I don't know. I loved it. They were like matching. I was very into it. I'm gonna convince my boyfriend that we need matching bathing suits.
On your next vacation?
I can't imagine anything he'd hate more than that. Than having to go on another vacation with me.
It kind of looked like like an 80s Barbie doll swimsuit.
Just, I know, and it was great.
Aerobics outfit.
One pieces are so in this year. Like, and I loved it with toque. I thought it was adorable.
With a what?
With the toque.
Oh, yeah. That's what you guys call winter hats.
Yeah.
I don't know how you actually called it that.
You didn't?
Well, like, I thought it was like a myth, like where it's like.
Oh, no. That's what we call them.
Mm.
Toque is more fun than beanie, you have to admit.
It is. Is it for just beanie type hats or any kind of winter hat?
Any type, I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fun one. And that's what she would call it because she's from Canada.
Yeah, she's Canadian. I love when her little French accent slips out.
I know. It's so cute. Then they had a really cool fantasy suite. It was like a teepee, right?
No, it was like their pre-fantasy suite.
Oh, yeah.
They just like went to go hang out in this Arctic tent.
It was cool.
And then they went to a different fantasy suite.
Okay.
Because I was like, is this together? A fantasy suite? Like, this is kind of weird. But no, they went to like a room more like Raven's, I think.
Okay. Did they have the ceiling thing?
I don't remember.
I think Raven got the coolest location.
She did. That was really cool.
Yeah. Only the best for your first O, right? They have to go all out for her.
Wow.
Yes. So, that's how we end up in Finland.
Yeah, and we're put out of our misery, finally. Rachel is gone.
Yeah.
But not forgotten, because she is the bachelorette.
Right. So we get to see her very quickly, and clearly she's like the star that even ABC realizes, because they're promoting her showing up in the Women Tell All above Nick coming back.
Perfect. That's what I want. Cool.
Exactly. So let's jump into the Women Tell All.
Uh-huh.
So there's 19 women brought back, I believe.
How many didn't you recognize?
That Elizabeth?
Yeah, she is a complete nobody to me.
Yeah.
Like, I am vaguely familiar that there was an Elizabeth on this season who wasn't Liz.
Right.
But I would not know her from a lineup of two.
Exactly. And then I forgot about Dominique.
I did
recognized
too.
Recognized her, but I'd forgotten about her.
Lacey changed her hair.
Yeah, Lacey, forgot about her.
I couldn't tell you who Astrid and who Whitney was.
Right. I only think remember because they were on my draft. That's the only reason.
Because they are very similar looking.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, who else changed their look? Danielle L had lighter hair and a nice jumpsuit.
Josephine. Mm. Oh my God, Josephine looked like trash during this. I'm sorry, Josephine. You're beautiful. She looked terrible during this entire season. She had the worst extensions I've ever seen. Oh my God, did she ever do a 360 from the season to the woman to all? That like light blonde hair looked fabulous. I know the really bold lipstick divided people, but I'm a bold lipstick fan. I loved it on her. I thought the look was great. Her dress was a little for me. I don't do golden tones. They make me look like a garbage can. But I thought Josephine looked amazing. Danielle M's really light hair looked fantastic. I loved her super low cut like jumpsuit.
Oh yeah, it was Danielle M.
Yeah, the women showed up.
Yeah, I liked Lacey's darker hair too.
I need her to go like two more tones darker. I don't love when blonde people dye their hair like light brown, because then it comes off as like a greenish greenish brown, almost like
chlorine stained hair.
Yeah. So if she went two shades darker, it would look great.
Who do you think is like likely to be plucked out of that lineup for BIP that wasn't noticed before? Like who came, gave it their all with their makeover and their like feisty comments?
I think Lacey and whoever we were talking about before, who we didn't remember, I think they were trying really hard.
Elizabeth.
Yeah. They came with bells on. They were trying to speak up a lot. Yeah, they were my main contenders for, come on guys, leave me alone.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I felt like this Women Tell All was a little bit of a dud. I didn't think there was a lot that really, I don't know, was resolved or brought to light.
Because really, the only point of conflict was Taylor and Corinne, and they're both brick walls, and neither of them are ever going to agree that they did anything wrong. And then everyone else was hunky-dory. Like, every other segment was like, oh, we're there for you. We love you, Liz. We love you, Christina. Rachel, we love you. Like, it was, which I kind of, it was refreshing to see, like, these women come and be, like, really supportive of one another. Because, let's start with Liz, because she was first, I think.
Yes, Liz got a hot seat.
She got a hot seat, and she came off super well. And I know that you're a little skeptical of her story that she was hung up on somebody after the wedding. And so, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the women really like came to bat for her. They're like, no, like, it's upsetting to us that Liz is known as somebody who just had sex with Nick, because she's so much more than that. She's so wonderful. Everyone loves her. And it was like really, really great to see all these women just supporting Liz.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see that in a good way, but it just on the show, of course, we didn't see any of the people being like, they were more just like, wait, what, Liz? And then she was gone. So we didn't really see any of her relationships except really with Kristen.
Yeah. And even Kristen was really like, you guys didn't see, like, you know, 90% of what we talked about, which was how great Liz is.
Yeah. And we didn't really get to see. Yeah, she wasn't on the show long enough for us to really get that from anybody else. So that was nice. So she kind of wins the hot seat segment. Like,
yeah, her stock really rose.
Yeah. And I think the only thing was just that she was so hard to follow on the show. So then the fact that she said, well, at the time I was hung up on somebody, I thought, well, is this just revisionist history? Because she didn't bring that up before. But it could be that she was just kind of scattered and didn't think it would be a good idea to bring that up to Nick, like, oh, I liked somebody else at the time. So it could be true.
Absolutely. You know, we don't know.
And it sounds like she has a lot of like charitable work and stuff.
Yeah. Which is great.
Good for her.
Liz, we like you. We're
in. And then Taylor gets a hot seat segment. I was kind of surprised that she got one.
I wasn't, because realistically, her and Corinne were the only source of actual drama this season.
I suppose, yeah. Usually it goes to sort of that third person, but that, you know, Rachel's the bachelorette already. It's announced. So
yeah,
that was reserved for her. I kind of thought somebody like one of the Danielles would get one just because
nothing from Danielle M, and we had her like making it to the end. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and they had some good, you know, one-on-one dates and a good connection. She has a sad story. So it was odd. She didn't even chime in for.
No, you know. She was just like, I'm too old for this shit.
Right. I'm just going to come here, look good and stay quiet, I guess. Let's see. Taylor just kind of. OK, this is the part that really annoyed me was that she talked about. I was shamed for being a counselor.
No. Here's my thing with Taylor. For somebody who. OK. Corinne's no angel. Don't get me wrong here. Mm-hmm. She's not. Corinne, I'm sure, said some mean things. Apparently, she called someone a swamp monster, which I'm forever calling everyone I ever don't like.
Yes.
But the thing is, Taylor was preaching this entire time with Corinne that Corinne didn't understand her perception or how people perceived her or her impact or what the words she was saying meant to people. Mm-hmm. And it's horrifically ironic because mm-hmm. Taylor had no idea how her words were impacting people.
No.
Or, you know, if you have one bad experience with Corinne and she doesn't receive what you're saying to her, don't keep going back to her. Don't keep like messing with her. Just be like, all right, I'm out. You mm-hmm. asked me. I told you you didn't want to hear it. Fine. That's it. I'm a grown ass woman. I don't need to get involved in this petty stuff that doesn't matter. And Taylor was completely unwilling to accept any responsibility for what she said.
Right. And she was just fixated on it.
Yeah. Like, I was career shamed. I was career shamed. No, you were shamed because what you were saying to Corinne was shitty.
Right. And she was more questioning, like, are you good at your job? She wasn't saying, like, oh, she's a counselor. What a terrible, like, job to have. Or, like,
yeah. You know. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like we career shame Chris Soules more than we freaking do Taylor.
Definitely. That's the definition of career shaming. We're just like, oh, you're, like, work with corn. Boring.
You're and farmers are the backbone of our damn society.
Yeah, he should be crying.
That cavalier about it. Yeah. No, Taylor, we respect your career.
And we career just... shame Nick for not having a career.
Yeah, exactly. We just, our thing with Taylor is that we don't respect how she comes across.
Yeah, we're more worried about how she's representing her career because it's not looking good that she's being so judgy.
Yeah, or forcing her masters in someone else's. Like, there is nothing that grinds my gears quite like somebody being like, I'm smarter than you because I have more degrees than you.
Right. Okay, you have more debt than me. Great.
Enjoy. Like, yeah. I don't really think either one in this fight. I don't think Corinne came off great, but I think Corinne came off more like, how do I say it? Like, she just, it was like water off a duck's back to her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like.
And Taylor's trying to demand an apology, which is not a good look.
Corinne, Corinne's just like, no, because I'm not sorry. And Taylor, you're not sorry about what you said to Corinne, really.
Right. She didn't say anything, you know, she kind of had an apology sort of after the break and sort of realized the audience wasn't having what she was saying. But that's not quite the same as coming in being like, you know what, I watched it back, I saw how it came across.
And the girls were a little divided here. Some people were on Corinne's side, like, yeah, you were uppity, you didn't talk to any of us, you were this, you were that. And then some girls came to Taylor's side and were like, Corinne, you were doing this, like, you called someone a swamp monster.
I don't think she called it to her face, though. I think that was in the, you know, they were in the bayou.
Yeah,
it just fit. It was good, like, line.
People were uppity about Corinne napping, and I agree that it wasn't super respectful to the other women that Corinne, whether she napped or needed time alone for an anxiety attack, you know, we don't really know what's the truth there. Mm-hmm. But it just, because you have a rose doesn't mean you shouldn't be there, and I don't know why you're super nervous anyway because you have a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who am I to judge what Corinne was feeling in that moment? I'm nobody. I'm certainly not a mental health counselor, so I can't tell you. Well, and like I think Corinne got fixated on the word nap. People were more like, it was disrespectful for you to think that you didn't have to be there just because you had a rose.
Right. Clearly.
Which I think was the proper wording that they should have used. But right. like, honestly, they were screaming at each other for a straight 5 seconds. And the only word I understood was nap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we saw Danielle L taking a nap on the bus, which was the most interesting thing they showed about her this entire season. So it's not the napping part.
No, she said, "I love you to Nick," and she's just like confused.
Like, how dare you take her on a 2-on-1? So rude. Yeah, that was her segment. Not a hot seat worthy, but just.
Why? Yeah, she was so despy for a hot seat, and Chris Harrison was just like, "I'm good, thank you."
Yeah, exactly. She needed her emotional like connection with Nick. But yeah, Corinne got the hot seat after Taylor. Mm-hmm. She got to talk a little more about Raquel.
Yeah, and I like what she said about Raquel, and it's like, yeah, maybe I was, I mean, it was a little like, I'm not going to call her a house cleaner. Like, I don't know what then he, I don't know, Corinne.
What yeah, she called it at like 3 different times. So I'm like, oh, I guess she is a house cleaner then. But so she thought that nanny was a more like inclusive term, that she was like, wanted a term that was more special. But I guess she doesn't call her a nanny in real life.
Yeah.
She's just Raquel. But it seemed like the other women took back their words about.
Yeah, even Jasmine was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, the word nanny has some connotations that I hear, like, I understand the word nanny as is something like different than what you understand the word nanny as. And I'm sorry for that, because that's not the relationship you have with that person.
Right.
See, Taylor, that's how you understand what you've said, mm-hmm. and you understand the impact that it's had on people, and you apologize for it. That's how it works.
Exactly. Are you surprised we didn't revisit Jasmine's choking exit or anything like that?
No, but I'm also, I mean, yes, I, wait, no, I'm not surprised, and I'm glad that we didn't. Mm-hmm. This is primetime television still, so
just forget that happened.
Yeah, let's just do that.
And then we didn't have a whole lot with Alexis. I was a little surprised. Just yeah, some lady too, in the audience.
I was surprised. She's such like a, I don't know. She's such like a firecracker. And she said, she tweeted something like, "I was so bored this entire time."
Oh,
and
like, just like us.
Probably why we didn't see her a lot.
Right.
And every time she was on screen, she was magical. So I can't wait to see her in Mexico this summer.
Exactly. And then Christina was the final hot seat before we get to Nick and Rachel. What did you think of her segment?
I liked it. It was kind of like, oh, this is kind of like an interesting thing. But she had the most compelling story of the season. Mm-hmm. So I understand why they gave her a segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sort of, and it was just revisited.
She already said, it's fine. And again, it's like all the women being like, "You're so wonderful. We're so glad that you like exist in our lives."
Right. And then made a point like, we're fighting about stupid stuff. And she actually went through things, which is what we all think about when she tells us her story.
Again, Taylor, that's what we call awareness.
Right.
I'm sure that's in one of your textbooks.
Yeah. That's emotional intelligence. That you got
from Johns Hopkins.
And then, of course, Nick comes out. And this is when Danielle gets to, you know,
and you could tell that Nick just like had no interest in speaking to her. Like mm-hmm. the way he lit up when he talked to Corinne, the way he lit up when he talked to Alexis. And then when Danielle was talking, he was just like, "I'm sorry."
Right. He's like, "Listen, I got broke up with twice. This is the show. This is how it works." I thought it was funny how he just seemed like so excited to be on the women tell all. Like, I've never been on a tell all before.
I know, it's funny.
He loves to like hit all those marks in the Bachelor.
Hey, universe. Did you know I've been on this show 5 billion times and I haven't once been on a men tell all?
He's his own. It's what the guys on Andy season made fun of him for. He's a Bachelor historian. So got to live out his dream, sit up there. Mm-hmm. And, I think it was Kristen who asked him if he found like that special someone, and he didn't give anything away.
Yeah, because he's like contractually obligated not to. Right. Come on, Kristen.
I know. Come on, Kristen. And I don't know. I just thought it was a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
He could have sold it more. Could have been like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if he was that excited to be there. He was excited to be on a tell-all, but yeah, like you said.
He was most excited like to see Rachel again.
Right. I think that's what everyone was.
Yeah. So the next segment, Rachel came out and everyone, like the women gave her a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. They basically sold her to us as if we needed any more like commercial for her. They're saying like, she's so great. Like, we're so excited. This is the best person it could happen to. And like, that just makes me excited. You know, I like people who I know get along with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all the women to do that. And you know, what a contrast from when it was Caitlyn's season and they have Britt there, too. And it's like, we can't decide. We're going to make you compete. And here it's like they all are excited for her. At least they show it that way.
Yeah. So
that's good. Clearly, she was a favorite among the women. And everyone, I think, can recognize like, how good this is for the show, that they're finally having an African-American contestant, and Nick was really excited, and they seemed to be getting along great. And I didn't sense any like, I mean, they really talked about like, oh, why did they didn't have any closure or that they needed to have. Just right. Seemed like, oh, yeah, we're both in better places right now.
Yeah.
No tension.
That didn't really occur to me as something I was missing from the show.
Mm hmm.
Because I think we accepted that the end was nigh for Rachel's storyline pretty early on, frankly.
Yeah, because they told us. Yeah, I think when she was on Jimmy Kimmel and announcing it, she was like, oh, I was so heartbroken. But we didn't really see that too much. You know, she's moved on already. He's usually the third person. They kind of have to sell that heartbreak a little bit more. Like, yeah. Oh, I hope I can find love again. She's like, hey, send your men. Bring it on. And just humbled and honored. And that was really, really neat. So she should be starting filming pretty soon, I would think.
I wonder if they wanted to get her like on this episode rather than the after the final rose, so they could start filming like maybe a week earlier.
Mm-hmm. That could be. So that's that. There are bloopers.
Oh, the bloopers never disappoint me.
You like them?
They are my favorite part of the season. The only thing I hate about it is that they're not 15 minutes long.
We could have used more this episode.
It was so funny.
Yeah, those are good ones. They had a snoring Danielle. Mm-hmm. They had some farting. Trees falling over.
Bugs, per usual.
Yeah, a lot of bugs. I think that's all we saw of Danielle M was in the blooper wheel.
Yeah.
That was good. And then at the end of the episode, they showed Nick like saying the city in Finland over and over and over again. And it didn't seem that hard to say.
Funny.
Yeah. So then they have to all act like they're, you know, surprised when he says
and
it.
The
right.
And the producers were like, it's this.
I mean,
and then when he finally nails it, Raven's like, cool.
Nice. Yeah, they're all practicing their acting skills.
Oh, it was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that was good. And they teased, you know, what's going to happen next week. Vanessa gets a horseback riding date, which usually doesn't bode well. So I don't know if this is going to be like a turnaround for the horseback riding date. Or
it's hard to have boats in Finland, though.
Yeah. What else can they have? Yeah. Are you surprised that they stayed in Finland for the end?
No.
Just wanted to
I feel
different.
Like they usually do the final three in one location.
Yeah. I guess I'm just surprised that they stuck with a cold location.
Right. They did Ben H or no, not Ben H. Ben, the other Ben.
Ben
Flanick. Ben Flanick. They did his in Switzerland.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because I remember Courtney had to take off her glove to get her engagement ring.
Ooh, interesting.
Spoiler alert for that season.
Right. Yes. So that should be good next week. Can you believe we're at the finale already?
I literally cannot believe we're there already.
Yeah.
The season's flown by.
It actually has. Last night's episode did not.
No, but that's what happens when you get 3 hours of content.
Right.
I
think finales fly by usually with the 3 hours.
I think so. I've quite enjoyed this season, frankly. Like, I know sometimes it sounds like we are a little down on it. Mm-hmm. But I think this is probably one of the best seasons we've covered.
I think so. It's definitely been really enjoyable. And we like the final two.
Yeah, great cast. We do like Nick for the most part for his fault. Like, you know, with his faults and everything. We have enjoyed Nick.
Yeah.
The women were, like, fantastic.
And I think it bodes well for Bachelor in Paradise then. Mm-hmm. And I think Rachel's season is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for that.
So and then Bachelor in Paradise is never not good. So yeah. I think we're for a really good 2017 in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah. Do you think Ben's parents or Nick's parents are going to be surprised to see Raven in the final two? Because they already met her.
Probably not then. They'll be like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Because I remember on that date, I was like, oh, well, she's not going to be in the finals. They're just like, it's a throwaway date. Mm-hmm. And then in the preview, they also had something with his dad saying like, well, she's kind of like, you've dated women like this in the past and it hasn't worked out. And I had a feeling he was talking about Vanessa there because she's more opinionated and things like that.
So that she's very Andy. Like she even kind of looks like Andy.
A little bit. Yeah, I could see it. Because Raven is clearly not like the people he's dated before. So from the two that we've seen.
Yeah, like she's different, but she's also kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like Dominique said something like, Nick, like, it was upsetting. Like, I don't think you can handle, like, bold, strong women. I'm like, girl, what are you talking about? His final, like, 15 were all bold, strong women.
Right. Oh, yeah. She called him out, like, you said you wanted this. Why didn't you go for what you wanted? And he's like, no, I do like strong women who speak their mind. So he still has that.
Vanessa, Raven, Rachel, Corinne, who was Christina was pretty outspoken. Danielle maybe was a little more, like, close to the vest or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like all women who were like willing to call Nick out on his shit, and they did. They all did.
Yeah, you just have to plan your moment. You can't just come up to him when you've had no connection with him and be like, "Why aren't you taking me on a one-on-one?"
Yeah, like, girl,
can't you tell I'm upset?
No, I don't know you. I don't know how you're upset.
All right. Well, I'm excited for next week, and I'm not as excited to talk about the draft results.
Let's not. Let's just skip it.
But I feel compelled to say that Jordan is like 100 points ahead of everyone. Team Little Mermaid, his pick of Raven has brought him to 212 points. I'm at 124 and you are at 119, even though I have nobody in the game anymore. So that was pretty exciting for me to still get a couple points. Follow at GeorgeCTV to watch Jordan continue to dominate in the draft. He's been very nice about it. He hasn't been gloating too much. He's just sort of faving tweets on the side when people are like, oh my gosh, you're killing it. You're just sleeping through this draft. So I don't know. We'll have to maybe think about who we want to invite for the Bachelorette draft after this.
Yeah, we're really going to have to figure something out.
Yeah, because we can't. This is embarrassing. All right, let's go into something happier. Do you have a review to share?
I do. Let me get to it. Nice. This one's actually from the Canadian Star, which is a fun and exciting time for us. Okay, so it's from Rev KP. So I'll admit, this is from my friend Kristen, my former roommate, my life partner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, so okay. I saw it and I just had to pick it. Listen, if I'm picking the reviews, I'm going to pick what I want.
Right.
So it's she says, yes, you guys are hilarious and fantastic. I love your recaps and commentary. Keep it up forever. You've changed me from a naive first time viewer to a forever fan.
Nice.
Like, I read it and it almost made me want to cry because it's really special to me that, like, people in my real life are, you know, being a part of this, which is, like, has become such a big part of my life. And for a long time, nobody in my real life really, like, listened to it or watched The Bachelor. And now that people are starting to, it's really, really nice to know that, you know, people are supporting me in this ridiculous thing that I do. And I love it.
It brings people together. Well, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, you should bring people together and tell a friend about it, because, you know, I feel like Rob has a podcast. If you're in that universe, you've found it. You've heard about it already. But maybe you have a friend that doesn't watch the other reality shows, but they're a Bachelor fan, and just, you know, subscribe on their phone for them. Help them out. Yeah. Thank you later, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, with that, we'll be back after this quick break to answer your questions. All right, Haley, we've got some good questions this week.
We have lots of good questions. And
emails.
Yeah, people are really using the email this season, and I love it. Like, thanks, guys.
I know. I like it. It's so retro. Emails.
It's like so retro. It's like so random. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start with Twitter questions. So not as retro, but this is from at Jossly. Do you think Nick and Vanessa will actually work? Seems like she's not going to watch #DWTS in LA. #The Bachelor.
Will they work?
I think Raven would be way more into Dancing with the Stars.
I think so too. I don't know if I have a lot of faith in a lasting relationship between Nick and Vanessa.
Yeah, Sean Lowe had a blog where he talked about, because he did Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
But then he regretted it.
A lot of former contestants have said, like, they regretted after doing it. Because it's, like, it starts pretty much right after the season ends. Mm-hmm. And when the season ends, it's basically the first time you and this person get to be a couple in public.
Yeah.
And then so much of that time is spent literally with another woman. It's hard to really get a jump start on your relationship in your real life, because so much of it has been this kind of fantasy for, you know, while you're on the show. So I agree with Sean. It's probably not a great idea for somebody who's very serious about making the relationship work. Chris Soules did it, and him and Whitney broke up pretty soon after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's, you know, if you don't live in L.A., that's a long distance. And that's a lot of hours spent, like, training and being on the show and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Press, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's exhausting for people that have, you know, solid long term relationships. Yeah. And they're just gone all the time. It's sort of like you have to say goodbye to them for that long. And this is your first time to hang out. And so Sean's thing was that he regretted not really consulting or thinking about what Catherine would think about it. But they weathered the storm. Mm-hmm. Those two. At RJF87, what's the chances Nick is the first one out of the limo on next season's Bachelorette? #, he hopes this isn't goodbye.
That was pretty crazy, right? That he was like, I don't want this to be the end for us. I'm like, dude, like, you got two other women still here.
Yeah, it's really not. Like, he wants to still be friends.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little weird to say, but I think he also knew that, like, you know, she could be a contender for Bachelorette, or that he'd support that. And
yeah,
you know, he's made peace with Andy and Caitlin, and, you know, they're civil. So maybe he just wants to, like, put that out there. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not make it weird. This is jump to the emails now. So, Haley, how can people email us?
You can send us an email at bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. If you have, you know, questions that won't fit in 140 characters, send them that way.
Nice. This one is from Rich. He says, hi, Amy and Haley. I just wanted to ask about this week's editing. My wife and I watch the show every week, and my wife has somehow managed to stay spoiler free and still doesn't know who will be the Bachelorette. While watching the episode this week, she became certain Nick would propose to Rachel on finale night. Due to the fact his reaction to her saying, I'm falling in love with you, seemed to be a lot more enthusiastic than his reaction to the others. He also said that he was falling for Rachel during this episode. My wife was also certain that Raven would be the one to go home this week, mainly because of whatever the hell was going on for the first 3 minutes of the show. When Raven was given the first rose, my wife was genuinely shocked and had no idea who he would pick to be the other finalist. Unfortunately, I did not share the roller coaster of emotions, thanks to a genius producer that decided it would be a good idea to announce Rachel as the next Bachelorette as she was stepping out of the limo week one. Do you think that the editors are pissed at the publicity? Seeing my wife's reaction, they may have been able to claim some good editing for the first time in franchise history. However, this was snatched away and the show continues to be as predictable as what day comes after Monday. Love the show. Listen every week. Thanks for all you do. Rich.
And he has a P.S.
Oh, yes. P.S. Am I reading into Nick's I'm not going to propose just because I'm the bachelor comment to Andy and the constant we still have a lot to figure out comments from Nick and Vanessa? This means he's choosing Vanessa, but not proposing, right?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. The editing, I think you're right. Like, we were kind of taking, like, I think we all would have been like, oh, he's so picking Rachel up into this point. Mm-hmm. If, you know, if they hadn't told us that she's the bachelor or the bachelorette. Right. What also could be happening is that the editors are trying to make Rachel look really damn good here. Since they know she's the bachelorette, they're trying to like present her in the best possible light. So, you know, that's somebody who can grow to be in love with somebody on the show and somebody who is loved also. Because we didn't really see Nick saying he's falling for Raven. We didn't see Nick say he's falling for Vanessa, I don't think. We did see that from about Rachel. And I think it's because the show's trying to be like, look, Rachel's so great. Like, look, Nick fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because with the others, he just kind of kissed them, which is kind of the standard reaction. And I think Nick is using semantics by being able to say, oh, yeah, I'm falling in love with you. I'm not. And then he can say it was more in love with the other two or something. Yes. Like that.
Yeah. And are you reading too much into Nick not going to propose? I think it's a reasonable thing to think. But my thing is, I think it's he's going to pick Vanessa and they're just trying to insert some like doubt in our minds that he's going to pick her and that he's going to propose to her.
Yeah, I just think he's so invested in the show that I can't see him being one of the ones who would not do, like you've talked about, his caring about how he comes across, I think.
But also,
he
wants to deliver that. He's also invested in making, like, a good television.
Yeah.
And being, like, the first one to do this or the first one to do that. You know what I mean? So it really could go either way, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, there's been few before where they give a ring and then they don't propose. They just are like, this is a promise ring. So that would just be kind of a dud ending, I think, for him. Let's see. This is from Brittany. Hey, ladies, after this season is over, you should go back and listen to some of the Reality Steve podcasts. He has some awesome interviews with Claire and Michelle Money and a few other great ones. It's pretty interesting to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea, and I am definitely going to. I just have to remember to do that. So, Brittany, can you remind me, please?
Right. Yeah.
Or like send me the link to your like top three favorite ones.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That'd be good because I just get so nervous around, you know, Reality Steve related items just because spoilers are out there. So I don't want to be like seeing who the final four is from next season already, you know, or something. So that'd be cool. All right. This is from Andrea. Is it just me or was anyone else secretly hoping Raven would kick down the door and start beating Nick with a snowshoe during his two other overnight dates? And then Raven won the date lottery this week, right? She didn't have to cross country ski or jump into an ice bath. Plus her room had the awesome glass ceiling. I would agree with that. And then Amy and Haley, between the two of you, who is the most proud of their country? And in the Women Tell All, who do you think was the thirstiest for airtime? Personally, I found myself shouting, shut up, Josephine, at the TV multiple times.
Oh, my gosh. OK, so there's a lot to unpack here, too. Let's go back to the beginning. Let me scroll up. I didn't think about Raven.
That would have been good, though.
You nailed that one. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Raven definitely won the date lottery. OK, dig, marry, kill.
Mm-hmm.
Darts in a bar. Snowshoeing. Ice bathing.
Oh, okay. So marry the darts, ding the cross country snowshoe, and then kill the ice bath.
Yeah, that's it. That's the answer.
Yes.
Who's the proudest of their country?
I think it's me. I'm proud of your country too.
Yeah, you have always had, you're like a Canadianophile.
Yeah, if that's the word.
You literally, not this past summer, last summer, you went to a Canada Day party.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but yes, in Minnesota. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I love the candy. I love that you guys speak French there, kind of. And yeah, I've gone to most of the provinces I've been to.
You've done like a couple of road trips through even some desolate parts of Canada.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Sault Ste. Marie.
Exactly.
Thunder Bay.
Yep. I've even been to Saskatchewan.
I haven't even done that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're both proud of Canada, and I think Amy is an honorary Canadian. Her accent is also borderline Canadian too.
Yeah, they can't tell when I'm up there. And then who is the most thirstiest for airtime? So I would say Elizabeth.
I would say Elizabeth too,
because at least I remember Josephine.
Mm-hmm. And Josephine was more like obsessed with Corinne. A lot of her was like, "No, Corinne is right."
Yeah. Just wanted to, you know, get some digs on Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Whitney kept trying to talk and then it didn't really work out for her.
No, it didn't. And Lacey came in when Nick was there. He was basically like, "I don't even remember." She's like, why'd you spend our time together talking about Josephine? And he was on the verge of answering, "Because I liked her and I didn't like you."
Right. He basically,
like, why would you spend our time together talking about someone else?
Yeah. Maybe
because he's not into you, girl. Like, move on.
Yeah. We always talk about how the women or the contestants shouldn't talk about somebody else on the date. But yeah, if the lead is talking about somebody else, that's a bad sign. Just you should be one of those women who just walk out being like, "Yeah, I'm not feeling it." Here's some questions from Facebook. Matthew Schmaltz. Does Corinne really owe Taylor an apology? Should Taylor have even bothered apologizing to Corinne?
No, I feel like both of them should just cut their losses.
Yeah, just realize that they're not going to get along and they're not going to get along together on Bachelor in Paradise. And
yeah, so
good drama.
Cut it and run.
Yes. Andra Feldman. How cringeworthy was Raven's bizarro world walk of shame?
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, that's...
It was funny, but it was also like, oh my god, why?
I know. I like that though. Bizarro world walk of shame. Colleen Landl. Josephine wins the award for pathetic attempt to garner a VIP spot.
Another Josephine hater.
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't stand out to me as much as some of the others. Dan Connolly. Who secured their VIP spot and who put their spot in jeopardy? I thought Danielle M was rather invisible.
I think Liz secured a spot. I don't know if we were completely willing to give her one before, but now I think we are.
Yeah, I could see that. Their spot in jeopardy. I think Astrid was totally invisible.
Yeah, yeah. Her and Whitney, who could have been real, like, slam dunks for bland hot girl on the season. We didn't see anything from them.
Right. And what do you think about the Danielles for VIP?
No, she's 31. She doesn't want to do this.
Somebody tweeted us about, like, one of them had their eye on, like, Chris Soules and
that was
Chase or something.
That might have been Danielle M.
Yeah, that was odd. So you never know. Maybe they need to see a cast list and then they'll come back. Jonathan Hoyter says, has Corinne become the greatest person ever yet? I think so.
Yeah, let's go with it. I'm in. We are in on Corinne.
In on Corinne. And this is the patron group. Kirsten McGinnis, if you had to film a post-fantasy suite montage, what wild animals would be featured?
Give me sea lions, seals, narwhals, penguins. Ooh. Yeah, I want that.
A lot of Nordic things.
Yeah.
I like it.
If we're in Finland, I want that. You know what? I want to be. Let's get to Finland. Let's go on a podcast road trip.
Do we have any Finnish listeners? That'd be great.
Hopefully they don't finish too early.
Jeremiah Panhorst, do you guys know anyone who has gone sledding after their first orgasm?
You know, I'm going to have to ask around for this one.
Right. I don't know if anyone wants to tell us what they did after.
And I don't want people emailing us the answer for this one, okay?
Right. What kind of recreational activities?
And I sent Jeremiah the Urban Dictionary definition of sledding. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you can look that up yourself if you're interested.
I knew somebody who, like, in high school, college, or just whenever she, whenever one of her friends lost her virginity, she'd take them out to Dairy Queen. So that was her tradition, was like she'd buy like a banana split for them or something like that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so I think she had like one friend who was like super conservative, so it was like wedding night, and so it was like, okay, well, after honeymoon you're gonna meet me at Dairy Queen or something like that. So it's kind of funny, everybody has their own traditions.
Yeah
But that's not necessarily first orgasm.
No, it's just V card.
Yeah.
Like I said, the first time you're doing it with someone new, you can't expect, you know, automatic fireworks, right?
No, you might not pull a raven. it might not be raven in Finland. It might be raven in Hoxie.
You see, you know, yeah, like, I don't even know. Like, I think raven might have just been getting some bad dick in. And, like, Nick just seems amazing compared to nobody with a stethoscope.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay. What? So you and I were talking pre-recording, like, oh, was there any news? Blah blah blah. Hmm. And we said no, but I just remembered this. I can't remember if I read it or someone sent it to me. But Raven's ex-boyfriend talked to Us Weekly and said that he definitely did give her orgasms during.
Oh my gosh. Dude, you need a life.
Can you imagine being so
actually?
Like, actually, like, dude, it's called faking. Like, have you heard of it?
Yeah. Maybe faking hasn't made its way into the lexicon in Hoxie.
Or maybe he's just one of those dumb dumbs who, like, was like, no, girls never fake. I'm so good at it. Ugh. Like, free pumps and you're done. I know it.
Oh, that's so cringeworthy.
Can you imagine?
Ugh, terrible. It's like Chad and JoJo all over again, like when the ex comes back and it's,
oh, like,
yeah, not a good look. Randy Knupel or Knupel, who were some of those people that claimed they were on the show? Elizabeth?
Yeah, she could have just wandered in off the street.
Yeah, she could have been the lady in the shark costume. Haley Strong. Oh. That's you.
That's me.
That's you posting the question. Well,
oh yeah.
Haley Strong wants to know what Randy Knupel wants to know, which is, would we all rather see Corinne appear on Dancing with the Stars instead of Nick appearing in his fifth ABC show?
Absolutely, I want that.
She would be so much better. Why don't they?
So much better.
I think Dancing with the Stars is still trying to be like, oh, we're wholesome. No, you're not. Yeah. They don't want the villain.
It doesn't matter how many Duck Dynasty children you have on your stupid series. I know there's gyrating. I know it. I've seen the way Buzz Aldrin moves. You can't tell me that's not completely sexual.
Oh my goodness.
Is Buzz Aldrin still alive?
I don't think so.
I'm going to just do a quick one.
Oh, let's find out.
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay, good.
He's 87.
Yeah. Oh, that's younger than I thought. All right, Justin Feinberg. We've heard stories of Nick not.
That's younger than you thought?
Yeah. I thought he was 90s.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty old for being on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. And yeah, he moved like he could only shuffle, basically.
Yeah. I have a theory that they always have to have somebody who's like clearly going home right away just so that the other stars agree to do it because they don't want to be first out. Like, too many of them have fragile egos that they just need someone who's like, oh, yeah, I'll do this for a little bit. Like,
some real ringers this season, like Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Like, gymnasts always make it into the top two.
Yeah.
And then Heather Morris, who's on Glee.
Yeah.
And
she's a dancer.
Literally used to be a backup dancer for Beyonce.
Yeah. Whatever happened to just like, this is amateurs?
No. I don't know. I don't watch it. So he was on in 2010. So that was 7 years ago. So he was 80. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, that is.
Good job, Buzz. I'm sure he's listening. He's a real Batch fan.
Yeah. That reminds me of how Aubrey tweeted out Sonia from season one of Survivor is now 80, and she did a video. Insane. She opened an Instagram and tweeted about Survivor 500. That was pretty cool. Yes, it is crazy. Survivor premiering tomorrow. Are you excited, Haley?
I'm very excited.
It's been a long wait.
It has, but I was talking to Ethan tonight, and he was like, and we both agreed that, like, it seemed like a long time when it was like, oh, we have to go till March without the season. But I feel like there's just been so much about it that it doesn't, like, it went by really quick.
It ended up being fast, plus we're podcasting, so I'm glad that we didn't have to double down.
Yeah, we kind of shut down as Survivor amps up, which is good for us.
This is from Justin Feinberg. We've heard stories of Nick not being great in bed before. Andy talked about uncomfortable fantasy suite stories in her book, and Liz waited 9 months to speak to Nick after sleeping with him. But in tonight's episode, it was strongly alluded that sexually frustrated Raven experienced a climactic first thanks to Nick's abilities. So with all that in mind, is it possible that Raven's ex-boyfriend is the owner of the world's worst penis?
And worst personality, according to that Us Weekly article.
Oh, definitely. Well, now Nick is the lead, so I think they wouldn't want to edit him in a way that suggested anything negative about fantasy suites. Raven has only been with that one bad guy, so yeah. I'm not a fan of her ex based on the news that came out.
That sucks. Like, you are sucky.
And he was cheating on her. So.
And Us Weekly? Really? We're going to Us Weekly?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. People are bust.
This is from Andrew Feldman. Was this season so boring that we had to devote a ridiculous portion of Women Tell All to Taylor? # Team Corn.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of brought that up earlier, too, right? Like,
I was surprised.
Oh, that's all we had.
Exactly. Yeah, it was this Women Tell All could have been 1 hour and we'd been fine.
Absolutely.
A friend of the podcast, Wrap Ups, Kurt Clark, what storyline or element of this season's The Bachelor would you most like to see adopted or adapted by the show Unreal?
This is a good question. Since I didn't really watch Unreal, I understand what the scoop is, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think a contestant coming back, I think, is an interesting storyline. But the way they do it, they've really only shown like the men leading these Unreal seasons.
Yeah, so far. And they had an African-American bachelor on the last season. They really ramp up the drama. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think I would... yeah, having somebody come back. I kind of like the more sillier things where it's just kind of more behind the scenes. One time there was what's her name? It's her with an R. But she was like...
Rachel?
No, it was like an older season where she
was... Well, we're talking about The Bachelor now, not...
Not this whatever. Season, but yeah. The Bachelor, like way back when. Roz, I think her name was. And they...
Oh, and she slept with the producer?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. It's funny because I was actually, I was listening to Juliette Littman's podcast and like she gets a lot of like batch people on there. So they give a lot of interesting background and not super spoilery. They mentioned how like, oh, like, did you know that Rachel would have been a really good lead if she didn't get picked by Nick? And they're like, and he was like, yeah, like we all loved Rachel right from the beginning, but sometimes our reads are a little off. You know, like Roz, we said she'd make a great bachelor. And then the next week we learned she was sleeping with the producers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't see Roz as the bachelorette, but I guess it's all how they edit it.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would like to see kind of. I mean, they've done that, I guess, on the show Unreal where the head of the show sleeping with a contestant, but maybe more like going into how they choose the next bachelorette and then switch to that. So like the behind the scenes of how they, you know, picked Rachel.
Or even like I you know it's not this season, but a two lead. How they like a Caitlin and Britt kind of sitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good too. I wonder if that season has started up. I don't like check on that channel very much, so it's like one of those shows I forget about.
Yeah, sorry guys, I only watch reality shows and half-hour comedies and 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown. That's literally all I watch.
Nice. Well, that was our last question. Do you have any notes from your friend Doug?
I do. And not only that, Doug came to watch the show with me last night.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, last night. I was like, cool. What day is it? Anyway, but he still texts me his takes. He said, the set at the Rose Ceremony looked like something out of Days of Our Lives. Maybe their budget just got cut and they had to be on the back lot in LA the whole time. It really looked like Days of Our Lives. If they had like that blurred camera lens, it would have totally looked like that.
Yeah.
I think Nick's turtleneck cut off the blood flowing to his head. Why else would a white male proclaim that he is a minority? Maybe he just proved himself to be the dumbass we all knew he was deep down. There are nails on chalkboards that are more bearable to listen to than 20 rejected women all yelling about emotional intelligence.
Oh my gosh.
And my world would be complete if Christina goes on to better things than this show. Nick becomes the new bartender in paradise and Chad returns only to shit his pants once again. Oh my.
Man.
Doug has really enjoyed this first season of watching The Bachelor. He really loves the show and now he's embarrassed to it. Like, he's like embarrassed at how much he loves it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, Haley, do you have anything else to promote?
I do. Okay. So this week, Fox is premiering a new show. It's called Kicking and Screaming, and it's not just airing the Will Ferrell movie every week for the next 6 weeks, although I've never seen that movie. So, I think this is showing you how prepared I get for podcasts. I'm not really sure of the premise. I think it's like a combo of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and like My Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. So I'm podcasting about that with Mike Bloom and friend of the podcast, Kirsten McInnes. So I'm really excited about that. So that should be coming out this weekend. So keep an eye on your reality TV wrap-up feed.
Ooh, it says, Kicking and Screaming is a new competition series that teams 10 expert survivalists with pampered partners to face the toughest challenges of their lives. Maybe Corinne will be on it.
Don't tempt me. Don't excite me like that.
Yeah.
And then Survivor is coming back this week. I wrote a blog post about the cast and who I'm excited to see, who I'm not excited to see, who I'm kind of indifferent on, and my winner pick. So you can go see that. HaleyStrong.wordpress.com. I know there's a lot of Survivor content kicking around these days, but this will take you probably 48 seconds to read. So go check.
Nice. All right. And let's see. Did you tell people where they can find you?
I didn't. I'll give you my address. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to get murdered. You can find me on Twitter at @hstrong_. Same on Instagram. Snapchat is hstrong28. Snapchat is coming back this season of Survivor. So if you watch Survivor and if you have me on Snapchat, Snapchat me your snacks. I love seeing your Survivor snacks because who doesn't love thinking about food while watching 20 people starving, you know?
That's great.
Yeah. And my aforementioned blog, HaleyStrong.wordpress.com. Lots of stuff going on there.
Nice. And I'm at RHAP Recapper, and we will see you next week for the finale, and we will have a special guest joining us.
Bye.
Bye.